For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Look, if you hate cops just because of the cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
I want that.
That's great sound. Crackhead.
I pulled that from a TV ad from Senator John Kennedy.
That was an ad to
for re-election in Louisiana.
I noticed the music. I was like, that an ad?
That's an ad.
It was such a nice contrast. You had this melodic piano music. Call a crackhead.
As only Senator John Kennedy could do.
He's our national treasure.
Indeed. That's right. Okay, so the reason I start with that, just to kind of lay the foundation, violent crime. Now, listen, I could do in my news roundup, in our discussions here, we could just talk about the violent crime that happens every single day in the metro area here. Fill in the blank was shot. Man, woman, child.
Little baby.
Baby, yeah. Also, I mean, we could do that. You know, we could do carjack. We could do all that, but you know, that's just not it's not the style of news, you know, that I do anymore. But when you look at it all in the aggregate, to say that we got an issue is not doing justice to what's happening. And so here's what happened is that over the last 24 hours, St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman, he's been on the program here. He has sent a letter to the legislature and he is asking for them to take on some changes. 314-912-1019. Guys, by the way, that's Gabe over there and Ken there.
Hi.
I'm Mike. It's
607. Hi, Mike.
Yeah. We've got to do the formatting stuff, you know. he says, listen, it's time for the state to come back in and resume control of the St. Louis City Police Department.
Okay. I can get behind that.
Okay, yeah. That's the question we're going to ask. And then he also says, you know what you need to do? We also need to consolidate the St. Louis City and the St. Louis County prosecuting jurisdictions, so there's one prosecutor that will be elected by both just for the sake of prosecution. And that's not going over well in the city and county, basically looking north and west and going, dude, mind your own business. And Steve Ellman says it is our business.
The reputation has hurt us because people that don't live here don't understand that it's not everywhere.
And that's from a news report filed by KMOV. And so the governor says we're not taking over anything. You know, he says we want a partner, but, you know, he says we're not going to take over the police department because, you know, the state ran things for, you know, quite a while. Local control of police was a big issue, you know, for a long time. But if the state were to come in, here are the pros, is that they would fund it.
Yes.
The state would fund it. The state would look at, you know, the best practices and say, oh, you're down how many police officers? We're going on a hiring spree. You have what lack of equipment? We're going on a buying spree. The con is that the local government would be cut out of basically any influence or management or say-so of the police department.
Is that really a con, though?
There should be. Yes, I think so.
In the grand scheme of thinking about how governance should be, we always want local control of local services. Like that's ideal,
yeah.
Right? I mean, that's the conservative ideals.
Right.
Like you have the responsibility of your own stuff.
But where I think, and Ken, don't let me put words in your mouth, is St. Louis City local governance has failed
on many levels.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Oh yeah, yeah. And we definitely get that. Is it because, you know?
But now, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, this is in the ideal. This is the, you know. So this is in one of those interesting situations to me because it's kind of where the reality rubber hits the ideological road here, because we're trying to say, okay, well, here's what we want. We want local control of city services, of local services, but we also want effective services. And the lack of effective services actually affects other communities. Mm-hmm. So, you know, okay, so the government does have a responsibility, you know, as you go up the line, of protecting entities from other entities. So if that city is doing something bad to my city, I should be able to appeal to the state government and say, hey, state government, could you help me out? Because these guys are hurting us. So in that regard, I see it. I see the positives as well. So I don't know.
And with regard to Steve Ellman, I look at it this way: if my neighbor has amazing amounts of trash and weeds in his yard, and they're flowing into my yard, I'm going to go over and have a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. You know. And I think what's happening, you've been hearing these stories about crime increasing in St. Charles.
Oh, right. And he talks about that in that story on KMOV. Yeah.
And I mean,
and where the criminals are coming from, too. Because they actually can identify as, like, oh, this guy's from the city.
Directly from the city.
Right.
And they're identifying them and they're making sure that everybody knows it. And I think that that's I don't think there's anything wrong with him at least making suggestions.
Here's how it goes in the culture of government, you know, and I've got very limited experience in this because I've been elected a couple times to things. And there is a mind your backyard and I'll mind my backyard saying something about, hey, go in and run roughshed over them does not go over well. It is not a good relationship building thing. That's for sure.
No kidding.
Yeah, not at all. Especially, you know, when I thought the more interesting aspect of this, I mean, the call to take over the police department, you know, that's been a statewide debate, both Kansas City and St. Louis for years. But when he says combine the jurisdictions of the prosecuting attorney,
well,
the city and the county, basically change the government structure of those places because their lack of doing their job is affecting us, and their lack of doing their job affecting St. Charles County. That's a fair critique. And I don't know that that would do any better. I mean, just given the current – I mean, it's very possible that the county could end up with Kimberly Gardner as the prosecutor if that were the case.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
So you got to be careful what you're wishing for. But I get where Steve's coming from on this, and I think it's interesting that he's willing to maybe not completely burn the bridges – but throw a little kerosene on the bottom of him and saying, I got a match in my pocket.
Yeah.
You know, that prosecutor aspect of it was the one that actually hit me hardest because, like, whoa, that sounds like a major shift. And I can't imagine anybody really liking that idea.
No, because the way things went, I mean, she went down to Jeff City to be chastised and, what, $750 fine? Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
That was really harsh.
Yeah,
and here she is doing the same thing she's ever done. She has not changed a lick of anything that she's been doing.
I think she wrote her own admonishment, you know,
oh, sure.
Probably laughed on the way back.
And so I could see her becoming the person, the go-to person for the city and the county.
Here's the frustrating thing is that when it comes to crime, when it comes to violence, when it comes to criminals not being prosecuted, let back out, this is what the people of the city of St. Louis voted for.
Yeah.
I mean, so if you really want to get hardcore, they're getting what they deserve.
Yes.
Here's the problem. I live 3-4 blocks outside of the city. My daughter's had the catalytic converter ripped off of her car, in the county. We know that in St. Charles County, not that St. Louis County and St. Charles County don't have some criminals running around it
that are
local residents.
These are homegrown.
But it's easily documented that a lot of this crime's getting exported. And it is fair to say what you're doing is affecting us and what's happening in the city. You keep voting for people who have this pro-criminal anti-law enforcement take. What did you think was going to happen?
Yeah.
Do you think it's voter education too? I mean, they don't realize what they're doing with that vote.
I think they do.
I mean, you got to think. I mean, people respond to campaigns. So, you know, if your campaign is, well, I want to reduce the police force, I want to cut, you know, I want to do the whole defund the police kind of thing. If that's my stance and you're voting for me, this is what you voted for. So,
does affect other people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the thing. All right. 314-912-1019. We got time to get your thoughts in on that. Let me know what you think. Also, still ahead, Planned Parenthood decides that they are going to put together a mobile killing machine a little bit later on today in Vermont. Some girls complain about a boy in the locker room, and the school says, we're investigating you girls for bullying. We'll get to that a little bit later on right here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
Look, if you hate cops just because of the cops, the next time you get in trouble, call a crackhead.
So bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Hey, that's Lita Ford.
Yes, it is.
She did not play this last Friday.
Why?
Family Arena. No, she did not play this because they needed to give her a longer set.
Oh.
So if you were with me at Family Arena, Lita Ford surprised us with how good her show was. That was fun. All right. On to more important things. It is 6:22. I'm Mike Ferguson. Got Gabe Pfeiffer here. Got Ken Williams here. And got Peter on the line. And if you're just joining us, we're talking about St. Charles County Executive Steve Ellman kind of firing a shot over the bow of St. Louis City, St. Louis County. He went to the state government and said, take over the city police department. They're overwhelmed. And do something about the lack of prosecution. So, Peter, what's your take on all of it?
Well, first off, I agree with you that I think most things should be handled at the lowest governmental level possible. That being said, however, if the local governance has failed as epically...
Uh-oh,
we're losing you.
We're losing him.
You're going through a dead zone, maybe.
Hey, call back, Peter.
Yep. All right, Peter. Hey, appreciate you being a part of the program here. I think I get where he was going with that.
Yeah.
It's if they have failed, which St. Louis City has failed. I don't know how anybody argues that. No, we're holding water. They have failed. Past tense.
Yeah.
We are in a failure now.
Right. It's not arguable.
No, it's really not,
and it is affecting the nearby community. So is he back there?
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Peter, we got you back here. You're on Newstalk STL. Yeah.
And then my second point was, could the legislature do something along the lines of what Senator Ted Cruz has tried to do a couple of times with gun crimes, or basically require prosecutors to prosecute certain crimes?
Could the legislature could make that a mandatory prosecution. This is another one of those be careful what you wish for things.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily saying, like, I think that mandatory sentencing laws have been a bad idea. However, if you say you have to prosecute XY crimes, would be, I think, a better option than sentencing.
The worry that I have on that, Peter, is now in St. Louis City, that would be a really good thing. To force Kimberly Gardner to do her job.
Yeah, oh yeah.
However, prosecutorial discretion with a good prosecutor is a very powerful crime-fighting tool and giving them leverage. So I would worry about that for basically most of the state of Missouri or anywhere else. So, you know, if you pass a law that says in the city you have to do it, or in cities over X amount of population, you could probably get away with it. But I'd be careful about making that a blanket statement, because a good prosecutor will use prosecutorial discretion in a way that really is good.
Well, and you could also have a bad prosecuting offices that could use that sort of requirement maliciously as well.
Definitely.
I mean, and corruption can come out of anything. The unintended consequences of all these things are always something to consider.
It's really complicated.
Yeah. And Peter, you're gone again.
Peter, appreciate you being on News Talk STL.
Yeah,
but he was basically talking about what I was saying earlier about, you know, the fact that we need something, because it's not working currently with the situation in the city, at least the way it is.
It's tough to force people to be competent.
It really is.
You know what I mean? It's like that's kind of where we are right now. We're trying to force people to be competent.
And let me go back with, you know, when Kimberly Gardner has run for office, she has had opponents. Mm-hmm. And she won overwhelmingly with her elections. This is exactly what the voters of St. Louis City voted for, and this is exactly what they're getting. And you've got other candidates. Now, Sam Page isn't going to say anything like this, because, you know, he and the city government are basically in tandem.
Kind of
and
sympathetic.
All of their corruption and everything, he's essentially on board with it all. Steve Ellman is not. And so he's calling him out. And again, that's very bad for political relationships.
Yeah.
And even if most people look around and go, the state government is not going to do what Steve Ellman is asking. They're not going to go in and take over the police department again. They're not going to, pass laws that are going to rearrange the jurisdiction so that the city prosecutor is prosecuting in the county of St. Louis and the St. Louis County prosecutor is in charge of prosecuting in the city of St. Louis. They're not going to do that. But the fact that he's brought this up and he's getting the media attention. You can see the report on KMOV. They did a very, like a 3.5 minute report, which in TV news is a very long. I mean, that's over 10% of a newscast, believe it or not, because it's about a 22, 23 minute newscast, you know, when you have the local news. So over 3.5 minutes of it was this last night. And it's got politicians now having to respond because you've got the fastest growing county in the state and has been for years sounding the alarm saying, hey, we're having problems because your problems are spilling over here and you're affecting the entire region.
Well, if they're growing so fast in the state, then they should have something to say about. I think they should have something to say about at least means. Okay. If you can't take suggestions, if it's just going to be a political thing, then there's another reason why you shouldn't be in the office you're in.
Yeah, and I don't even mind politicians making this political. I mean, I really don't, because Steve Ellman is a politician, and this is what he has at his disposal. So yeah. Politics isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just most of the time people use it for bad things.
Yeah.
But he's sending a message. I think Steve knows. I mean, Steve's a smart guy. I mean, I've met Steve a few number of times. I've talked to him. He's a very smart guy. He knows the legislature is not going to do this at all. But he knows that it could be lighting a fire locally or among other people. Matter of fact, I want to ask Mark Montavani about this. Y'all, just over 1 hour from right now when he's on the program. Because the violence that is happening in St. Louis County does have a kind of a smoldering growing issue with crime and more property crime, but there is an increase in violent crime, particularly around metro stations and things like that and near metro stations. But St. Charles County is saying what everybody quietly, he's saying out loud what people have quietly been saying privately for years.
Oh, absolutely.
They can't get their stuff together over there and it is spilling out over here, which is exactly what's happening.
Well, interestingly enough, even beyond the violence aspect of it, where, you know, it's just a matter of public safety, just the property crime is essentially an economics issue, because a crime ridden area is it's kryptonite to businesses. They're not going to go in those areas, and if they are already in those areas, their plans are to move out. And when you hurt the economy that way, now you're hurting people's jobs, people's job capabilities, people's access to various services, and the value of your city goes down necessarily, and you're kind of left with the dregs. And what are you going to do?
And as county executive of St. Charles, that's Steve Ellman's one of his primary jobs is to make sure that the atmosphere is good for business in his county.
And it is. They thrive.
But if it gets to the point to where it's not, you know, through criminal action and everything, then he has a lot to say about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, do I agree with everything Steve Ellman, decisions he's made? No, not everything. But I don't agree. I mean, people I'm a big fan of. I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with everything Ron DeSantis has, done.
Donald Trump
as governor.
I
don't agree with everything, but you can't really argue with the results unless you're dishonest.
Right.
Look at the results of St. Charles County. Look at the results of St. Louis County. Look at the results of St. Louis City. Who's growing, thriving, and who's not?
Right.
St. Louis County's population is less than it was years ago.
A lot less.
Businesses have left. The economic activities moved to St. Charles. They're doing something right. The city and county are doing something wrong. All right, 314-912-1019. Just ahead here, the situation in Vermont. This is getting national news. A public high school tells girls to pipe down, stop complaining about a boy in their locker room. It's even more gross than that. I'll tell you what's going on at 6:34 here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. And by the way, don't think this is limited to the New England. This is happening around here as well.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
A high school in Vermont. That's the new center of this whole trans stuff that's going on. I want to get to that in just a minute. Here's a quick update because this affects the local area as well. Planned Parenthood launching its first ever mobile abortion clinic. an abortion mobile.
That's so gross.
And they are going to be driving along the borders of states that are pro-life states, like Missouri. Again, I don't want to focus on this too much. It's ghoulish. But Jeff Manasso has the story from Fox News.
Planned Parenthood announces plans for a 37-foot RV that it says it's turning into a mobile abortion clinic. That Planned Parenthood says will stay in Illinois, though travel close to the borders of adjoining states that have banned abortions following the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. The announcement after a surge in abortions in Illinois, where the procedure is still legal. Planned Parenthood says its first mobile clinic will begin handing out abortion pills by the end of the year, and plans to allow for first trimester abortions in the mobile clinic by next year. Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
Try doing any other surgical procedure in an RV and see how far you get with any state medical board and regulators. Try to get approval for that. Anything. Anything. I want to do basic skin grafts for burn victims. I'm going to load up in the RV and we're going to travel around the state. I want to do I want to scope athletes' knees, and I'm going to travel around the state and go see how far you get in an RV. This is just ghoulish.
Last night, Nick Schroer, he sent me this a link to this information, and I was like, wait a minute. Now, I didn't get quite all of the story. They can't come into Missouri.
No, they cannot.
No, I mean, and distribute the pill, right?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay. So they're going to go along the periphery.
They're going to go around the borders, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, Illinois is surrounded by states that have mixed laws on it, but a lot of red states around it. So basically, they're just going to kind of drive around the border, apparently. And I don't know if this is going to be stationed in Fairview Heights or Chicago or whatever. But, you know, they're going to spend probably a couple hundred thousand dollars, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars custom building a vehicle to drive around. I mean, they just can't get enough of their killing. They just can't. It's just, again, ghoulish is the only word I can think of. But all right, I'm done with it. Just so you know, that's happening. Yeah. And that's happening in the area. All right, high school girls' locker room is now closed now to the entire team over a fight about whether a male student can change in the girls' volleyball team because he says he's, using air quotes here, transgender. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal has more.
Two teenage girls at Randolph Union High School in Vermont told the Daily Signal they asked a trans girl on their volleyball team to leave while they changed. School officials told them state law sides with the trans student, and in a September 23rd email, they said they were investigating the girls. Those teen girls and their parents told the Daily Signal and other news outlets that the trans girl sat in the locker room and watched them change, which made them feel awkward. One girl said the trans athlete also made an uncomfortable comment, but the trans athlete's mother wrote in a social media post that this is slander and defamation and that they've secured a lawyer. Last week, the school said the locker room was closed to all volleyball players. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
Now, here's a follow-up to the story that I found on some local TV stations in that area. And they said, well, you know, anybody who's uncomfortable with it can change in a private place, and there's a private place. The locker room has one private stall and one apparently private, like, shower area. So every single girl would have to take turns in there, which would take while the boy has free reign of the locker room.
See, shouldn't it be the opposite?
Yep.
Shouldn't it be that, hey, you, the, you know, singular person who has decided that, you know, we all have to make accommodations for you, why don't you take the singular areas?
Right.
Why don't you take the smaller areas? But no, we've flipped everything on its head now.
Yeah.
So the, you know, this tiny, supposedly minuscule, you know, portion of our population has rule over all of us, and it's crazy.
And that's where I'm coming from because, okay, let's make sure that this one person is completely comfortable and let's not have any obstruction to his transgenderism or whatever it is. Now, everybody else, you have to suffer. You have to make the accommodations. You need to compromise. Not the way it works.
Let me also point out that this isn't just about Vermont, okay? This is happening all through the country and yes, including St. Louis. I'll say it. I mean, I know that I'll catch some crap for it, but what you have here is a mass scale social contagion. If you want to hear about a pandemic, it's a pandemic of social contagion of something like this. And yes, Google social contagion if you're a liberal who's losing your mind right now because I'm saying this. But, you know, as far as the comment about, well, the one one player made awkward comments to the girls while they were changing. That's what boys do. That's why you don't let them in a girl's locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, and who's to say that he didn't say it? I mean, the mother's acting like, "Oh no, he never said that." So we're going to lawyer up.
We used to believe all women. End of story.
Yeah.
Now we don't.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's true. You run right into that, don't you? Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And this
women's spaces, right?
Right. I mean, this is believe all women unless they're complaining about a dude in a dress.
Ugh.
This is the culture of public education. Now, Vermont law has one of those things where a so-called trans, and I don't like using that word. I've just come to the conclusion we should stop using the word because it's not real.
That's a great point.
That is a good point.
We always see the yeah. linguistic ground to the other side. Like they come up with some term, and then we start using it just out of course, so we can at least be talking about the same things.
Yeah,
right.
But that's not we need to not even give up that ground. It's like
right.
no. Here, let's identify this very clearly. We're talking about kids who think they're the wrong gender.
Yeah, we're talking about a boy with gender dysphoria.
Yes.
Is what we're talking about here.
I doubt in this particular case that it's that actually.
But here's the thing is that
honestly,
the narrative and the basic foundation of public education in America is to favor, support, highlight, celebrate that kid.
Mm-hmm.
And demonize everybody else because that is the ideology. That's what your public school is teaching. That's what your public school wants. And don't say, no, Mike, maybe in those other areas, but boy, we've got good values in our public school here. No, you don't. If it's a public school, they don't have good values, period. End of story. I'd love to have you try to change my mind, but I don't care what district you're in. They don't.
If you're a boy at that age in high school and your hormones are flying everywhere, I mean. And you find out that you can go into a girl's locker room and sit there.
And all you have to do is say,
I feel like a girl today.
I'm a girl today.
Yeah.
Like, as many scams as teenage boys have been pulling off for time immemorial, trying to manipulate the rules for various things, you don't think. On some level, some of these boys who are claiming to be trans aren't doing this. You really think that that's not happening?
And it will be prefaced by, "Hey guys, getting together with his five or six bros.
Mm-hmm. Watch this.
Yeah, and so he's not being identified really. They're laughing. They're all snickering while he identifies as that. Trans.
At
whatever.
One point in my life, I would have thought that was funny. Yeah, dude, exploit it. I have a daughter.
Right.
Two of them.
God's sense of humor. I have a daughter, and this really ticks me off. If you ever go to MRC TV, Media Research, Research Center,
mm-hmm.
or Media Resource Center,
yeah.
Britt Hughes does commentaries for them, Brittany Hughes, and she now has a video cast TV show on there as well. And her one on this particular situation, it's like 4 minutes long, so I'm not going to play the whole thing here. Here's just a minor clip of it, but I really think you should check that out at MRC TV. It's called a reality check. Here's just a quick snippet.
But instead of protecting its female students from having to get naked and shower in front of boys, this school, which I assume teaches biology somewhere in the building, is now investigating the girls for being uncomfortable enough with the arrangement to say something about it. And all of this insanity is being pushed by the same group of people who claim to be all about women's rights and smashing the patriarchy.
And you should see, though, that's not even the most hard-hitting parts of her particular commentary. So I would check that out. They posted it on Facebook. They posted it on Twitter. Just look up MRC TV and you can find it and check it out for yourself. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. But it's some really interesting, hard-hitting. I'm glad that the pushback is getting more and more and more outspoken on this.
That's that pendulum, I think, starting to swing the other direction. And we've talked about this for the last year, actually. When is that pendulum mm-hmm. going to swing? And I think it's starting to maybe shift a little bit.
I think
it's not
right.
just a comment. I think it's starting to go the other way.
Yep, I think you're right. All right, just ahead here, right around 6, let's do this around 6:50. Got an update from Florida, particularly Southwest Florida. And I can tell you it's actually affecting dozens and dozens of people here in the St. Louis area as well when it comes to the hurricane damage and the hurricane recovery. I'll tell you what that's all about. Don't forget, 7:35, we've got Mark Montavani, candidate for county executive in St. Louis County, going to be on the program as well. A lot of stuff to talk about here on 101.9 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
All right, Mark Montavani is going to be back on the program here on Mike Ferguson in the Morning. We're going to talk to him at 7:35. You got any questions you want us to ask him? I'm going to see it most immediately in the Rumble chat box. Gabe, are you watching the Facebook stream by any chance?
I'm keeping an eye on it.
Okay, so you can also comment on Facebook if you want to send us one. You can tweet at us at Newstalk STL as well. We are on YouTube. Just look up Mike Ferguson in the Morning. But Rumble is really where I keep my eye on things. It is 6:51
right
now.
Your single eye, by the way.
What's that?
Your single eye on things.
I didn't say I keep my eyes on it. I keep my eye on it because I've got one functioning eye. Yeah. All right, so that's at 7:35. Don't forget also this Sunday. It is Freedom Fest Barbecue, St. Louis County Young Republicans. They are serving up barbecue, serving up some drinks, and serving up some conversations from people like Eric Schmidt and Jay Ashcroft and Congresswoman Ann Wagner and a whole bunch of state representatives, state senators, and a lot of candidates. Going to be a lot of fun.
Freedom and Super Smokers Barbecue.
Freedom and barbecue go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
If you're a hard leftist authoritarian, you should be serving tofu. But freedom people,
that's
eat
right.
Barbecue.
We barbecue.
You eat meat. Tofu, and you have a vegan. Soiree if you want. But
enjoy.
We're going to have barbecue and beer and stuff like that.
Meat and fire.
Yeah, 11 o'clock to 2 o'clock. Newstalkstl.com. You can also go to the St. Louis County Republicans website, which is stlyrs.com, and you can get your ticket information there. But you definitely want to be a part of it. So check that out this Sunday. Tim Jones, Chris Arps from the afternoon show. They are the co-MCs, and you may just see a few other Newstalk STL personalities there as well. All right. Quick update here regarding the recovery from Hurricane Ian, particularly in Southwest Florida. The more that we learn about the damage, the worse that this is getting. This is Fox affiliate WSVN reporter Joe Roats giving us an update from the scene.
Officials are unsure of when residents can return after the town was decimated. Search and rescue efforts continuing on the mainland and on the barrier islands, with crews going to homes to look for stranded victims. Flooding continues to be an issue. Plenty of roads and bridges in Southwest Florida are still impassable. Officials warn the situation could get worse as lakes and rivers continue to rise and overflow.
So the death toll now at this point is confirmed to be about 104 as of about a half an hour ago. I haven't seen it since then. The real scary part here, guys, is that we still don't know how high that number is going to go with a storm this particularly massive. Now, not that I'm not trying to compare the severity of it, but just so you know that this does affect people all over the country. Fort Myers, which is where that report was filed from, is where that national baseball tournament is for the different age groups. That's where I was supposed to be in a few weeks before the eye injury, but we got word yesterday that the first 2 weeks of that national tournament have been canceled. The 35 and over slash the same week the women's baseball national tournament is playing there at the same week the 35s, and then the 45 and over, which is what I would have been playing in, has been canceled as well. They are probably going to end up canceling all of that, and we had, you know, I don't know how many teams from St. Louis were going to be there, just dozens and dozens of guys down there. The point is that that is a small microcosm of the economic activity that is really hurting down there, because I know that I personally, every year I go down there to play in there, between Airbnb and restaurants and groceries and gas and everything, I'm sure I spend a few thousand dollars just myself. And then you multiply that by hundreds and hundreds of players and their families, and that is a big economic activity to the area. So that's just one thing I've got an up close view at as to how the people of Southwest Florida are being harmed after the storm because of the damage of the storm.
Yeah, and they're going to be feeling the aftermath for a good long while because there are videos now of sections of even their touristy areas just being completely wiped out. You know, the place where there were buildings, there were mm-hmm. hotels, there were restaurants, yeah. there were spas and all that stuff. Those things are gone now. It's just rubble on the beach. So there's a lot of rebuilding to do. But it seems, as best I can tell from all accounts, the government response has been very effective this time.
Yeah, it really is. And that's not a Republican or Democratic thing. I would like to think with Florida, they have more experience with hurricanes than anybody else in the country, that whether it's Republican or Democrat, they would have been able to be ready for that and be efficient. You know, obviously the DeSantis administration is doing a great job on that. And I'm not saying that because I'm a fan of Ron DeSantis. He's just doing a good job.
Sure.
You know, yeah, he's doing a real good job. Yeah. And, you know, Biden is still saying that, well, they're still talking about whether or not they're going to meet with the governor. They're going to meet with the mayors for mm-hmm. sure. It's like, stop. Just stop.
I mean, the job's getting done. I get the impression
that the job's getting done. But still, why are they doing that?
Yeah, and I imagine with Ron DeSantis, yeah, probably frustrating, but he's focused on getting stuff done.
Oh, he didn't care.
Yeah, he's just getting it done.
He even said it, Mike. He said whatever problems that they're having to get down here, he said, we're going to take care of it anyway. So,
yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And there's definitely a case to be made for a president to say, OK, we're not going to come down just yet because with the trip down there, there's all kinds of security and logistics and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But usually they will go if there's something functional. But at this point, I do think it's about politics.
It's all about politics,
which is when you go back to looking at the jobs just getting done right now. FEMA is there. Mm-hmm. So there is a federal presence.
Yes.
That is on the same page with the DeSantis team as well. So
I'm very
that's,
grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as much as there's a lot of us, and I know that there are some people who are like, you know, get rid of every single government agency. In situations like this, there's a place for government to come in and do what cannot be done individually in an emergency situation.
Federal disaster relief, I think, is one of those things that I think the government does have a purview to attend to.
You know, come in and take over and like run people's lives and, you know, that sort of thing. No.
No.
But to say, okay, your entire town, like Fort Myers Beach, which is basically gone, and we're getting in to give you life-sustaining things and work with the private sector and at least coordinate. I just don't have any heartburn over that, and unfortunately, some people do.
Yeah.
All right, lots here still to come. Don't forget, Mark Montavani going to be on the program at 7:35 here on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.